Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 26, 41, and then I'm going to read two verses from 1 Corinthians 16. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41, and then a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians 16. I read a story about an ocean liner. Maybe think of Jerry and Lisa, they just went on a cruise. And a lady in a storm, the ship tilted sideways and the lady slid across the deck and went over the rail. And people were horrified, and then a man jumped into the water from an upper deck. And he was able to get the lady, and they were able to get rescued to them and pull them both up on the ship. And they found out the man was 80 years old. And they said, "What made you be the one to jump in to save her?" He said, "I want to know who pushed me." Well, some of the things I'm going to talk about today, we have to be pushed sometimes to do. To do the hard things in the ministry, hard things in the Christian life, hard things with our family and our marriage. Sometimes we have to be a little pushed in order to do the right things. And so we will ask the Lord to guide us as we do these things. Look at Matthew 26, verse 40. Jesus is praying and he comes back to his disciples. He cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The importance of watching and praying in the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul, writing to those at Corinth as he comes to his closing of this first letter, says in 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." Quit you like men simply means to be mature. To make the decisions that are tough to make takes maturity and strength in the spiritual life. And God help us to watch. God help us to pray. God help us to endure the things that we need to. And to be strong to be the tough love that is needed so often in raising our children and in ministering in the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask you to guide me. And Lord, deal with hearts, I pray. Help us to learn and grow through the word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I've reminded you constantly, your pure minds, what you already know, that the church is the people, not the building. Stained glass and giant steeples doesn't make a spiritual church. Neither today's method of casual dress, rock and roll music in a movie theater setting in a warehouse building does not make you spiritual people. And I don't even think that pleases God, but that's a different subject. Today, many homes and families and marriages are as shallow and as weak as the churches that they're a part of. Turn with me back in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Let's read again Joshua's admonition to the nation of Israel in chapter 24. Joshua was a man's man. The Bible tells us that in verse number 31 of Joshua 24, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So Joshua influenced two generations of people, not only his own, but the next generation of those leaders that outlived him. They were still obedient, remembering what Joshua had taught them and what Joshua had done. And Joshua gave the admonition about his own family and home in chapter 24 and verse number 14. He told them, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. In verse 19 and 20, Joshua gives them a warning that they're saying, yes, they want to serve the Lord. And he warns them about the mixture of sin would cause God not to bless them and to judge them. So they're making a commitment. It needs to be real. It needs to be something they know they're making a commitment unto God to serve Him. And he writes the covenant that the people make between Joshua and the people and God. He writes it out in verse 22 through 25, and he takes a copy of the scripture, and they put a giant stone up as a memorial. So when people saw that stone, they would know this was the place of the covenant that we made with Joshua and God, that we would serve the Lord in our homes. And friends, the church is a lot like that stone today. You are the church, not the buildings. But these buildings are here as a remembrance of what we know we believe from the Bible. It's a place where we teach what the Bible teaches. But in a good Christian home, that should just reinforce what you're already teaching in your home and what you already know as Christian people. We remind you, like that stone reminded the people of the covenant relationship they had with God. Who is influencing you? Joshua influenced the people of Israel and the leaders of Israel who outlived him, and they continued to influence the nation for another generation of people. Who's influencing you? Many of you grew up in a Christian home with godly parents. Some of you grew up in a single parent home that had a good mom who tried to raise you right and teach you right. Are you still practicing what you were taught in your upbringing if you had that kind of home? I remember one morning I went fishing. It was before daylight. I was in Little Allison Creek over there. I'd parked the truck and the trailer up on the parking deck there and put the boat in the water, and I got out in the water and it was still pitch dark. And I had turned the light on, which you're supposed to have on a boat, and mosquitoes were eating me alive. And I was going to fish that just a little bit right there, and then I was going to crank up and go down the river. So I turned the light off. And you say, that's illegal. I know it. But no game warden's out that time of night. And I wasn't worried about somebody flying into me because I was in a cove. And so I was fishing a little bit, and some young boys pulled up in a car up there at the boat landing. There's lights up there. I could see them, but they couldn't see me. And they got out with a BB gun and started shooting stuff. And one of them had a foul mouth. I mean, he was saying awful things. And I spoke out of the darkness. I said, did your mother and grandmother teach you to talk like that? And boy, oh, howdy, if God had said it, it wouldn't have been any worse. They stone struck cold, you know. And they stood up there, and I heard one of them say, no, 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 no. And then the other two blamed the other. Just see him doing all that talk with his mouth, you know, got that nasty mouth. And I said, your mom and your grandma taught you better than that. I know that. I was working at Duke Power, and there's a guy above me started cutting some metal, and he's throwing fire down on top of a bunch of us, and we yelled up at him, and boy, he got angry. He started saying all kinds of stuff. He came down there wanting to fight, and I said, did your mom and daddy teach you to talk that way and act that way? And boy, it just humbled him right there. He hung his head down and said, no, sure didn't. My mama taught me right and wrong, took me to church when I was growing up. And I said, well, you know, a lot of us have had that upbringing that we went away from. But God's ready to have us come home and get forgiveness and a new start and have a life that serves Him and pleases Him. Did you come up under a good church and a good pastor that taught you right from wrong? Some of you did, but some of you have overcome the upbringing you had in a weak home and a weak church, and you didn't have that godly leading that you're trying to provide now for your family. And as a result of that, you need the strength of the Scripture for your guidance and direction because you didn't have the physical example of that as you were coming along. Joshua made a determination, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look with me back at Joshua chapter 1 and also at the end of Deuteronomy 31 in verse number 6. And then Joshua 1 verse 6 through 9. It takes determination and courage to be strong and obey the word of God and not fear to do what is right. It takes a real determination. This is what God said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then over in Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to him as Moses died and Joshua was to be the new leader. He said in verse 6, Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Being strong, not being afraid, being courageous, to follow the Bible, the Word of God, and to put it into effect in your marriage, in your home, in your family, it takes strength because it will cause dividing. It'll cause trouble when you're raising children and they want to do something that's contrary to what you've taught them and what the Word of God teaches. Then it will cause some conflict that will come along. Today, too many families make major compromises, and the weakness is shown in the generation of young people today. The news media started calling them snowflakes, that young people in college who were so horrified because who they wanted for president didn't get elected, they needed a room to go and be sympathized with and counseled and helped because they just couldn't handle that they didn't get their way. And we are raising a generation of young people today that are that weak and that are so accustomed to having their way that their mom and dad is not in charge in the home. They're in charge in the home. And you may have good kids and they may have good ideas, but I'm going to tell you something. They don't have the maturity to make the decisions that they'll have to make in dealing with life. They need you to do that until they're grown. And if they got good sense, they'll come back, ask your advice even after they're grown because they know you've lived what you've taught them and what you've preached. I've had a few parents that were very strict in the church over the years with their children. And I've had a couple of families come to me and say, you know, those people are so strict on their kids, they won't let them do this, they won't let them do that. I say, hey, wait a minute. That's their home. They're following the Bible. They're doing what's right. I have those same beliefs. I might not act in the same way, but I have those same beliefs. And those kids are grown now. And a couple of those families that complained about how strict those people were, their kids been through two or three marriages, they've been through alcohol and drugs and all of that kind of stuff. And that other family, their kids are grown, raising their kids now the same way their mom and daddy raised them. And they're thankful that their parents raised them that way. You say, were they always thankful like it? Absolutely not. They didn't understand a lot of times why their parents were so strict, why they wouldn't let them do everything that other kids got to do. But there was a purpose and a reason. We send our kids off to school, and now we've got to check behind what they're being taught. They go in these sex education classes, and they're not to prevent sex. They're how to have sex in public schools. And the teaching of evolution and the teaching of the gay rights and all that sort of thing. They are teaching our young people, your preacher's wrong and your Bible's wrong. This is today's society and you need to believe what we're teaching you. I'm going to tell you what, I got problems when kids come home from school with that kind of view that they've been taught from the public schools. Quit ye like men, 1 Corinthians 16. And with these sleepy disciples, Jesus said, you'd better watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Our kids can't be raised without a watchful eye from a godly mom and dad. If they are, they're going to face all kind of temptations from their peers and from the society that they're growing up in. And without our watching over them and praying for them and trying to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if we don't do that, they're going to face all the problems that we see happening in the society today. To quit ye like men just means to be strong and mature, to be adult, to stand firm, be alert to the circumstances that are coming your way and the temptations that you face. Our young people face an awful lot of temptations today. The movie industry and the medias that are out there are influenced that are not Christian and positive in their life. Too many moms and dads are not in charge in their home. They want to be the buddy of their children. They don't want to tell them no and have them get mad at them. I grew up in a permissive home. My mother worked a third shift and slept in the daytime, and my daddy worked the first shift and was a drunk the rest of the evening. And so we pretty well got to raise ourselves. I remember having some friends who had Christian homes, and they would tell me their parents wouldn't let them do that. Their parents would discipline them. I actually envied them as a young man who had the liberty to do anything I wanted to do because nobody was in charge at my home. You can have good kids, but they don't need to have that kind of responsibility and make all the decisions of life. It takes discernment to make decisions. It takes wisdom and experience of life to make the right choices. And even then, we've got to be a people of prayer and watchfulness because we sometimes make the wrong choices or handling it in the wrong way. Our kids need to grow up by the fixed principles of God's Word, not by the ever-changing society in which we live. We've got to stay on the right road, not the easy road. We've got to follow God's Word, not the popular things of today. Pop psychology for a while. Everybody was listening to this PhD, this psychologist, Dr. Feelgood or whoever it may be, and they were trying to follow what he taught rather than what the Bible taught. Maybe it's their employer that has a lot of influence over. Maybe you're young people and it's your teacher or your professor. Or maybe it's a pastor. You know, you got a responsibility to know the Word of God, so when I preach, you know for sure what I'm telling you is the Word of God. Helen Keller was blind and deaf. And therefore, she was also mute. Couldn't speak. Her parents let her live like an animal when she was a child. She would come into the room when they were eating and she'd go from person to person by putting her hand on them, and she'd just eat off their plate with her hands and make a mess all over the table, and they just let her do it because they loved her. They couldn't communicate with her. They couldn't teach her. They couldn't tell her anything. Their permissiveness was a problem, and they hired Ann Sullivan to be a teacher to try to teach her sign language and help her to change some of this. And then they didn't want to cooperate with Ann Sullivan because they thought she was too strict. They thought she was too tough. But their permissiveness that showed itself in not tough love, but love that was permissive, she had to get isolated away from them. There was another house on the property, and she took the girl there. They did it by taking her off in the buggy first, and she didn't know where she was. And they isolated her there. She said she must learn to obey in order to learn. And once Ann Sullivan got her to the point that she was totally dependent on her for her food and her living, and she would obey her, then she started learning sign language and learning what things meant. You've probably seen the movie. And Patty Duke played a very good character as a young girl, and when I think the first thing she came up on was water when they used the pump, and she put her hands under it and she realized there was a word for that water. Obedience is the gateway to knowledge according to the Bible. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. Peter learned by the seaside when Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Jesus told him, if you love me, then go and do what I've told you to do. Obey me. Society changes all the time. It's hard to keep up. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, went through the hippie generation, and all the changes that have happened in the world since then, and now we've come to the LGBT society that we live in today. But I want to tell you one thing, as society's changed in all these ways, God hasn't changed a bit. Malachi chapter 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Man's ideas change. Man's desires change. His flesh changes. God's word is unchanging. It's forever settled in heaven, the scripture says. And so it's important that we know God and know his word. Secondly, God has given us specific roles as a man and a woman and children. As a man, we're to be a Christian, become a husband, be a father. A woman, to be a Christian, to be a wife, to be a mother. Children, their primary is to obey their parents in the Lord. And so it's important that we raise our children in the Lord. You got to be strong to lead a family. You got to be courageous to lead a family. You got to be unbending to a certain degree. When you know something is right, you can't give in just because your kids ask you over and over and over, and then they throw in the other one. Well, so-and-so's mama lets them do it, you know. You got to be courageous. Back in 1 Kings, David told Solomon, I'm about to die and you're going to become the king and you're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to follow God in his word and his commandments. And today we need to live in the New Testament era of time. In the same way that they did in the Old Testament according to the law, we need to be obedient to the Scriptures and follow what God has told us to do. We need to live by conviction. We need to know what is right and stick with it and have a conviction about it. We need to prepare and watch because it's a battle. We've got to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand. There are enemies of our society, the world in which we live, the flesh that we have in our own body, and the devil who tempts us. Therefore, we must put on the armor to stand our ground. The armor of truth and righteousness and faith. It's important as believers we know what we believe and why we believe it, that it's based on the Scripture. Then we can have conviction. Not just a preference of what the preacher likes. Not just a preference of what you like, but what does the Bible say? Then you can stand firm on it because it's God's Word. Our feet moving forward with the gospel, praying, the Bible says, with all types of prayer, interceding on behalf of our kids. You remember Job, how he prayed for his children and he made sacrifice for them just in case they were doing something he didn't know about? Your kids are going to come to a point in life where they get out and go places and you can't always be with them. And you'd better be watchful and you'd better be prayerful. And you're going to go through that and it's going to be tough. It's going to take not having fear, being courageous to be obedient to the Word of God. Jude said we must earnestly contend for the faith that's once for all delivered to the saints. Because there's those out there that would turn God's grace into licentious living. Meaning excess, absence of restraint, wantonness, shameless conduct, lasciviousness. All of that is out there in the world around us and our kids are bombarded with it all the time. Oh, you're missing something if you don't do this. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it is to be cool. Yeah, you don't know what it is to get locked up in prison either, do you? You don't know what it is to come home drinking and have a car wreck. I remember a family, my daughter was close friends with the girl, and our daughter called my wife and I and said, please pray for my girlfriend's family. Her brother, Winthrop student, was coming home real late at night, and he was drinking. He had a wreck just a mile from his house and got killed. What a tragic end to a young life. 2 Timothy says we're to hold fast the form of sound words because some have turned aside. Phygellus and Hermogenes have turned away and they're being turned over because of that. Chapter 2, he said, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," Paul wrote to Timothy. "Commit the word that you're learning unto faithful men who will pass it on to the next generation." That's what Joshua had done. He had trained and led as a godly leader a generation that then trained to lead another generation. It takes enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're in an Olympic marathon in a marriage and raising kids and having a home, and you have to obey the rules like a runner in the Olympic Games, lest you become disqualified. Paul made that very clear. Now, Paul gives instructions to Timothy for the benefit of those he was a pastor of. He goes over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to look there with me. And take hope, I'm almost through. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 14 says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Back in verse 11, he said, "It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Discipleship takes dying to self and your own selfish desires. And the same is true if you're going to be the head of a household, if you're going to be a mom and a dad, and you're going to lead a family, then you're going to have to put your own desires and ambitions aside for the good of your household, just like we have to for the good of the church. We have to be careful who we listen to and who influences us. And don't follow anyone's teaching that leads to ungodliness. And Paul references two others, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who led people astray with false teaching. And there's always those out there that'll try to take the Bible to tell you there's nothing wrong with sinful living. It's important that you and I learn to accept how God made us. I'm a male. I had three sisters growing up, two older, one younger. I'm the third in the series. I had no control over that. Had no choices in that. We were born poor, primarily because of my father's alcoholism. We had no control over that. I'm of a Caucasian race. I had no control over that. I was born in America. I'm thankful for that, but I didn't choose that. I was born here, you know, my parents lived here, so that's where I was born. I was born in a time in history that I had no control over. 1951 is when I was born. I wanted to be born in the old days. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Riding my pony on a six gun by my side. You know, that's me. I should have had that. But I had no choice in the matter. I wasn't born in that generation. One day I came across a passage in the book of Esther where Mordecai said to Esther, "Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God has you right where you're supposed to be in this time in which you live to do His will within the family you're in and as the person that you are. You say, "Well, I don't like the family I'm in. They're too tall." Well, some families get to be tall and some are short. You don't have any control over that. Some have a lot of fat genes. You ever see a big fat guy like me and he's got a fat wife and they got fat kids, you know? Those poor kids grow up, they just can't seem to lose weight. They're never going to be skinny. They're going to be like Oprah Winfrey. You know, she's got all the money in the world to diet, but she still balloons up. You know, it's in her genes. It's part of the problem that she has. Some people can eat half as much as other people and they still gain weight. Some people have big noses. Some of you remember Oscar Mushian used to be attend the church here faithfully, he and his wife. And he had a Russian country background. His family came into America. They lived in Vermont, and they had a Russian community. He spoke Russian, and boy, he had a nose. I mean, it was very distinct. We had a little guy, John, run around here like a coil spring when his parents brought him in. You know, he's all over the place. He said, "You that man with that big nose, aren't you?" He said, "Well, yes, son, I guess I am, you know." You know, I'm sure that if a girl's got a nose that she don't like nowadays, they can get it fixed, you know. I got a niece that did that. Boys, hers looks great, you know. Just don't do like Michael Jackson and keep going back till you get it all cut off and you got nothing left, you know. But you're going to face some things in life you have to overcome. But you got to accept who you are and how God made you and be the best you can be of you. And do it for God's honor and glory. Let me give you these little staccato closing remarks. Number one, follow God and walk with Him daily. Stand on the Word of God. And I mean stand on it. Don't bend. Don't yield. When you know the Word of God says something, believe it and have conviction about it. Be watchful because you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, what your kids are going to face. Be mature, make the right decisions. Pray for wisdom to lead your family in the right way. Make the right choices. Endure hardness like a good soldier. Back in World War II, America wanted to get as close to Japan to be able to bomb them and do whatever they wanted to do to control the country and defeat them in World War II. And they attacked the island of Iwo Jima. The Japanese were very prepared. They dug caves all in the island of volcanic ash. And the 5th Marine Division hit the beach at Iwo Jima. And over the period of that war, they killed 21,000 Japanese soldiers. Probably a lot more than that sealed up in the caves that they never even found. It cost 6,800 American Marines' lives. 19,000 Marines were wounded on Iwo Jima. 27 men received the Medal of Honor in that part of the war alone. Chiseled by the graves on that island was this little expression: when you go home, tell them for us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Mom and Dad, you may have to give your tomorrow for your kids. You're giving up what you want, what you desire, what you'd like to have to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it takes giving up for the next generation. Paul said, "I'm coming to Corinth." He said, "I'm coming without a cost to you." He said, "I would very gladly spend or be spent for you." He said, "It's the parent that lays up for the child, not the child that lays up for the parent." It is important that we recognize their sacrifices in raising children. It often takes tough love. One of these days, I'm going to die or I'm going to retire as a pastor one of these days. And I'm going to become the nicest guy that anybody's ever met. I'm not going to tell anybody no about anything. I'm not going to have an opinion about how people live or anything. People say, "What do you think of that?" I don't think at all. I get tired of being the guy that has to tell people, "No, that's not right," or "You're being led astray," or "Your family's on the wrong track," or whatever it may be. But until that day comes, I'm going to keep doing that because it's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do. And I want to help you raise your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to avoid, to be watchful and pray and avoid the problems of life. But you're going to have to watch and pray and quit you like men, be strong and mature and stand on the Word of God. Let's stand together, our heads bow. Lord, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the blessings. We pray that you'll strengthen us to be the man and women we should be, stand true to the Word, not yield to temptations ourselves, and set the proper example for the next generation that's coming along. May we be people that say by faith, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then may we be strong and courageous to try to enforce that in our homes and bless the next generation who will bless the next generation. Because, Lord, without that, we see what happened in the time of the judges. That when they became prosperous and they did not have a godly judge, they went out and did all kinds of evil, trying to become like the world around them. Until they were punished and chastened, and then they would cry out for a deliverer again. Over and over, that's repeated in Israel's history, and we see it in America as well. God, I would pray that we could experience a touch of revival, that we would truly put Christ first in our lives and exalt the Word of God and become obedient to it. We ask for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.